Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be reading Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10 responsively. I'll read, then you read. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. And we will read responsively. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you. We do thank you for today. We thank you again for your book, how inexhaustible and how real and how inspiring it is to be able to open up your book daily. Thank you for the freedom of being able to hold the Bible in our hand each and every day. I just pray, Holy Spirit of God, again, that you'd meet with me. I ask you to fall upon my lips. Help me to say what needs to be said. Pray you'd fall upon hearts today. Again, I pray that we are prepared to hear your message. Pray here that we'd walk out of here closer to you than when we came, Lord. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of my message this morning is, How is Your Walk? How is your walk? How is your walk? I'm not talking about your locomotion or how you move from place to place with your feet. I'm not talking about that limp that you may have because of some sprained ankle or you stubbed your toe last night. I'm not talking about a limp that you have because of a past injury or the fact that you may walk fast or slow. I'm not talking about your locomotion this morning. What I am talking about this morning is your walk of life. Your walk is very important. I'm talking about your walk of life, your testimony, if you will. It can be likened to that. It ought to be clean. Your walk or your testimony is what you are when no one sees you. It was kind of indicated this morning in our adult Sunday school class. Yeah, it's one thing. It's sometimes very easy to look good and clean when everybody's around, but who are you when no one sees you? What you do with your life and how you live your life can be described as your walk. It can be considered a testimony. You see, serving Christ and giving him all determines what he's done for you. You see, when the Bible teaches when we got saved, we became a new man. Where old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. And there ought to be a change in my life, in our life as a Christian. We sing the song, and I'm not going to go ahead and woo you this morning with a song, but the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. We sing it with the kids. Why don't we do anything do the things that we used to do? Simply because there's been a great change since I've been born again. There ought to be a desire. There ought to be a difference in you. So how is your walk this morning, Christian? This morning may be more directed towards the Christian life more than any other message. We will talk about the unsaved here in just a few minutes towards the end. But Christian, how is your walk? How is your spiritual walk? Is there your walk such that it is pleasing to Christ? Is your walk such that the world that he saved you out of sees Christ in you? Can people on the job site see you as a Christian because of your walk, because of your talk, because of the things that you do? Do you walk unashamedly, Christian, for Christ? Is there a cowering, or is there kind of a backing off when certain people get around? Do you go places that Christ would be pleased with? Do you say things that he is pleased with? Are your activities such that he can say, well done? By the way, you know what? When you got saved, who moved inside you? Christ. The Holy Spirit moved inside you. So let me just say this. Wherever you go, he is with you. Wherever you go, he is with you. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? Oftentimes because of our lack of growing, oftentimes because of our lack of not listening to the Word of God, or maybe our not nurturing our growth and so forth, we kind of quench the Holy Spirit who it lives inside you. And the truth of the matter is that Holy Spirit has many, many ministries. It's there to convict you when you do wrong. I thank God for that. I thank God that if I do stray, I thank God that I have a relationship close enough with the Lord that when I stray, He knocks on my heart's door and says, hold it, red flag, don't go this way. I thank God for that. I thank God that He communicates with me, another ministry, He communicates with me that which is not right. And the truth of the matter is, it keeps me from going way off astray and so forth. Hey, you know what I'm trying to say? How is your walk this morning? Is your walk such that it pleases or grieves the Holy Spirit? Our walk is very important. It can determine much of the blessing that comes in your life. It can also determine how others turn out. You know, if they see you on fire for God, let me tell you something. They see you on fire for God, they'll follow. You know, the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, when you get excited for God, church, listen to me. When you get excited for God, when you get excited about reading the Word of God, when you nurture that relationship with the Lord and you get on fire, let me tell you something. It becomes real. It becomes sincere. Let me tell you something. Those that follow you say, you know what? He's got something. She's got something that I want. I think I'm going to follow along. But the truth of the matter is, can they tell that you're real? Can those that follow them little children on your bus route, can they tell that you're real and sincere on that bus? Or is it just, well, it's a job. I'm just here because. Well, you know what? If that's the only reason why you're there, praise the Lord. But you know what? Your ministry could be a whole lot more fun if you go saying, man, I get to influence or be a power of influencing some child for Christ this morning. Your Sunday school class, is it just kind of status quo? Is it just kind of, well, I just showed up and so forth and whatever? You know what? You could have a wonderful Sunday school class. You could have a wonderful spirit in your Sunday school class if you go with an idea. Yes, I get to go ahead and teach the unsearchable riches of Christ to some little boy, to some little girl, to some teenager, to some adult. Hey, you know what? You can have a rich life if you allow the Holy Spirit to go ahead and move in your heart and to go ahead and grow in your heart and to go ahead and allow you to grow and allow you to become what you want to be. But the truth of the matter is, I'm asking you this morning, Christian, search your heart. How's your walk? Is the Holy Spirit moving in your heart? Do you come to church and I just came to fulfill my duty? Well, great, and I'm glad that you're here. But you know what? Church could be so much more fulfilling if you come before you walk through the doors, even hours before you walk through the doors. God, you do something. Holy Spirit, you do something. The truth of the matter is, I don't know how a Christian can live without the preaching of the Word of God. I don't know how. I don't know how a Christian can go ahead and flourish without the preaching and without a daily walk with God. I don't know how. You know, we need to nurture our walk. Our walk is very important. It can determine what kind of blessings will come in your life. It can determine how others turn out. If people see that you're a Christian, your Christian walk is sincere and real, they'll go ahead and follow along. You know, it's kind of like follow the leader. You know, if God is leader of your life, so to speak, if you allow Him full control and you allow Him to make you and mold you and to be what you want Him to be, and you go ahead and you follow in step with Christ, you know, and they see that Christ is real in you, them that'll go ahead and follow after you will say, you know what, I think I'm going to go ahead and follow the pastor. I think I'm going to go ahead and follow the Christian school teacher. I think I'm going to go ahead and follow the Sunday school teacher. I think I'm just going to go ahead and follow because they are going somewhere. There's a joy about them. There's a joy unspeakable and full of glory about them. You know, I want what they want. But you know, the truth of the matter, we don't have to go around faking, well, you know, Sunday morning, we look this way one day and then tomorrow we're out with the world. And you know, and what that does, it confuses people, start scratching their head. Huh? You know, they were there yesterday, but today, whoop. You know, they start scratching their head. We ought not have that kind of testimony. Is your walk such that it pleases God? You know, in the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul used the word walk 6 times. Every time he uses it, it's in a sense of one's conduct or manner of life. He is writing to believers, to the Christians there in Ephesus, to show them how they are to live as they pass through this life. By the way, we have a book right here that teaches us how to live as we pass through this life. We don't have to rub shoulders with the world. We don't have to go ahead and rub shoulders with the things that we ought not be doing. You know what? We have a book right here that teaches us how we ought to live. Paul is teaching these believers here in Ephesus how they ought to live their lives for Christ. He was teaching them how to have a good testimony. Your testimony ought to be very powerful. Your testimony for Christ ought to be such that people see Jesus in you. You know, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men. You know, they ought to see that you're a lighthouse. They ought to see that you ought to be a breath of fresh air for somebody. You know, let me tell you something. You see people that I don't see. I see people you don't see. But the truth of the matter is, it might be somebody. You could be an encouragement with your Christian life. You ought to be a light to someone who may be down, who may be discouraged. You could go ahead and be a breath of fresh air for somebody. Your testimony ought to be powerful. Paul got saved on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. He lived such a way that he was very, very wicked. But boy, the Holy Spirit, God went ahead and worked in his heart. He got saved. And you know what? He had a changed life. The old man left, as the Bible teaches. He became a new man. Romans chapter 6, he penned this, knowing this, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. Hey, it was nailed to the cross that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Hey, is your body destroyed? Is the body of sin, that is, destroyed this morning so that you're not a servant of sin? Or are you still serving it? Are you still living and wallowing in it? You know, the Bible teaches that there are Christians that live so as by fire. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, them kind of people, you know, heaven won't be quite as enjoyable. Yeah, it will get enjoyable. But the truth of the matter is, at that judgment seat where we all stand one day, for those Christians that chose not to grow, that chose not to live for God, that just kind of pushed away the church, pushed away. You know, I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We ought to be busy down here. Our walk ought to be such that people see Christ in you. You ought to find yourself serving God. You ought to find yourself reading the Word of God. You ought to find yourself nurturing that relationship and have something to go ahead and have them crowns that you can go ahead and cast at his feet. But there's some that'll live so as by fire, they'll have nothing to give them. And I don't know about you, I wanted to be able to give Christ back. Man, he gave me all. He gave me everything. When you think about it, you know what? My life, you know what? I could have all the money in the bank today, and I'm not against all that. I could have all the toys in the world, but that's nothing compared to what Christ has given me. You know, we ought to be nurturing our relationship. Your body ought not be a servant to sin. It's been crucified. Your flesh should be crucified, if you will. Are you still serving that which is old, the old nature, or are you living for God? Are you serving the world, or are you serving Christ this morning? When one gets saved, he is changed, or he should be changed. The old man was crucified. All his sins were paid for by Christ. Therefore, there is a difference. There ought to be a difference in your heart when you get saved. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'll just read that verse, very familiar verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you know, when I got saved, I literally kind of, for instance, put on Christ. I put on Christ. Be in Christ. I went ahead and I put him on. You know, the Bible says when I put him on, you know what? You know, I got all the Holy Spirit that was accessible to me when I got saved. He moved in. But let me ask you a question. Did the Holy Spirit get all of you? You know, I have access to all the Holy Spirit. You know what? When I got saved, he gave me all. He did not go ahead and refrain nothing from me. But the Holy Spirit, did God get all of you? Did he go ahead and get your whole heart, as we'll talk about in just a moment? You know what? The Bible says, I put on Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's new. He's become new. He's born again. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, you know what? That's why we ought to have a little spring in our step, a little bit of joy in our heart. You know, I wonder about these Christians who says, hey, how you doing? Fine. Well, if you're so fine, let's tell our face about it. Smile. You know, Jesus is living inside you. The one that gives all joy, the one that has all peace, the one that's supposed to produce the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy. But if we have the joy of God, if we have the joy of Christ, you know what? I know there's some heavy burdens here this morning. I know there's some heartaches here this morning. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? If we have Jesus, who is all that we need, he's capable of giving us some joy in our hearts, even going through the battle. You know, love, joy, peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Let me say this. We do not have to live in bondage that sin causes. We're a new man. Many times why Christians struggle with sin is because they're not nurturing that relationship with Christ. They're not walking with him. They're not walking in step with him, if you will. When we nurture our relationship, that is walking with him, that's reading his word and prayer, faithfulness to the house of God, feasting on the unsearchable riches of Christ, listening to the preaching, fellowshipping with the saints, it is then that you strengthen your relationship. You know, it's no wonder why some of us are weak spiritually. It's no wonder why we have no defenses against against Satan and against his army and against his attacks and against the fiery darts of the wicked. It's no wonder why, simply because we've not nurtured that relationship. We're not growing. We're not strong enough to go ahead and put up that shield of faith, if you will, to go ahead and quench the fiery darts of the wicked. We need to strengthen our relationship through his word. We need to strengthen our relationship by walking with him. We need to strengthen our relationship by following. Be ye followers of God. That's a command. Be ye followers of God as dear children. You know what? That means God ought to be focal point. If you're following God, where is he? Behind you? No. He's ahead of you. Okay, God, I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Hey, you know what? When you have a willing spirit to go ahead and say that, you know what? That means God is right where he ought to be in your life. Boy, you ought to be nurturing that relationship, fellowshipping with the right crowd. Why? Because why? Why should we be this way? You're becoming stronger in the truth. When you go ahead and you nurture, you become stronger in the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. You don't have to live in, listen, Christian, you don't have to live in bondage this morning. You don't have to live all bound up this morning. You don't have to live all wrapped up in sin if you want this morning. You know, I quote often John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. You nurture your relationship with truth, and the truth will what? Make you free, the Bible says. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know what? Listen, my friend, if you're here today as a child of God, and you're wrapped up this morning, hey, you know what? That's going to go ahead and cause me to wonder, how close are you to the truth? When was the last time you walked with truth? When was the last time you talked with truth? We don't have to live all bound up in sin this morning. Why? Because the truth will make you free. Who's the truth? Jesus. Jesus is the truth. We can be free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from what? Bondage that sin brings. Christian, you don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to walk all bound up. You can walk in truth and you can be free. People, you know, that's no wonder why good people, they doubt their salvation. Because it's been a long time they've walked with truth. A long time. You know, and don't misunderstand me. I was there. I doubted my salvation. I reaffirmed my salvation at a later date as an adult. I made sure. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? I can go back and say, why in the world? I grew up in a Christian home. Why in the world, with some of the good things that I've been taught, why did I doubt? You know what? Because I was not walking closely with truth. I've heard all the principles. I've heard the same kind of sermons as I'm preaching this morning. Walk with God, walk with God, walk with God. But the truth of the matter is it no wonder why, am I saved? And I'm not trying to make you doubt this morning. But the truth of the matter is how often we may go ahead and sit back in our Christian life and wonder, you know, when the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life by believing in the name of the Son of God. Hey, listen, you know what? We need to walk with truth every day. Let me say this, if you're not saved this morning, let the truth set you free. You know, you don't have to sit here in doubt. You know, the worst place to go to hell from is an independent Bible-believing Baptist church. You know what? And my friend, if you have that void in your heart this morning, you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I plead with you, come to the truth. Come to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, Jesus said, and the life. Boy, you know what? I got life when I met Jesus. My life's not the same. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to say, I don't do them anymore. You know, because he gave me new life. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away. But you know what? If you're not saved this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Boy, you can get to know the truth. And you know what? When you get to know the truth, you can come unto the Father only through the truth. You can come unto Jesus this morning. You can be saved this morning. You can know it. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Salvation by grace it can set you free. Salvation by grace has set me free. We do not have to be walking around bound up in the flesh and sin. You know, the one that you feed the most wins. Turn to Galatians. Galatians real quick. Talks about a war here. A little bit of an afterthought here, but let me just read a few verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. If I said 6, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Big S, that's talking about the Holy Spirit. Again, all the Holy Spirit was you had access to when you got saved. How much did he get of you? Okay, think of that. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, you know, that tells me if I'm walking in the Spirit of God, if I'm doing everything that I know in the power of God, living for God, being what I ought to be, reading His Word, growing and nurturing my relationship, you know what? That's going to help keep me from walking in the flesh. That's going to help keep me from veering off, if you will, the path that God has me. You know what? Walking in the Spirit, that means, hey, you know what, God, you got Holy Spirit, God, you got first place. Walking in the Spirit, I got my eyes focused on you. I got my eyes there. I think I mentioned last week, you know, the Satan, the master distractor. He'll do anything he can to try to get your eyes from over there, from there to looking all over the place. Hey, you know what? No matter what, when the battles come, when the trials come, you just keep on looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You just keep on looking unto Jesus. But you know what? The Bible says, verse number 17 of Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. There's a war. The Bible says, in the Spirit against the flesh. Okay? You know what? They don't like each other. Okay, that's why there's a war, okay? The Bible says, and these things are contrary one to another. That means they're fighting each other constantly. And you know what? The one that we feed wins in this walk of the Christian life wins. The one that we feed constantly in the walk of the Christian wins. We want to go ahead and feed the flesh. You know what? It's no wonder why we're walking in the flesh. It's no wonder why we maybe doubt our salvation. It's no wonder why we may not have the blessings that God says that we can have. It's no wonder simply because we're feeding the flesh. But when you feed the Spirit, He's giving you all the armor. He's giving you everything to equip you with a battle. He's giving you everything. He's giving you everything that you need to go ahead and win. You know what? But there's a battle. Our walk ought to reflect Christ. Our walk ought to be a walk of spiritual influence. People ought to see that we're real. That spiritual influence, our walk spiritual ought to be spiritual influence causing others to follow. Now, that was all intro. Now, I'm going to go ahead and get to our walk. I'm going to get to our spiritual walk this morning. How is your walk? What kind of walk should we have? Number one, our walk ought to be a working walk. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Get a few verses here. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse number 10, for we are his workmanship, or product, if you will. Okay? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, we are a product of God. Now, listen carefully. We're not saved by good works. We are not saved by our good works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, the first two verses before 10 there, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. God gives you the gift of eternal life. There's nothing I can go ahead and do about it. It's already been finished at Calvary. Thank God for that. Jesus was only one. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We ought to have a working walk, though. There is no amount of good works that can produce salvation. All the work, as I mentioned a moment ago, was done at Calvary. Jesus said, as he gave up the ghost, it is finished. The finished work, the final work of salvation was done. It was paid for by the grace of God. Through, he shed every drop of his blood. He's covered my sin with his blood. And I thank God that I'm justified this morning, just as if I'd never sinned. Thank God that we don't live under the law or under grace. You know what? You go back to the law, they did all these, had all these things they had to do. But I thank God. I think I didn't have to get up this morning, go find myself a spotless lamb and go ahead and kill it and all that. You know, I mean, you know, but you know, that was proof. That was proof. They did that as a picture of the coming Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. You know what? We have to have a bloody religion. Don't let anybody tell you that, you know what, it was a death or this by saying, you know what, no. It was Jesus' blood that saved you, gave us remission for our sins. Thank God we don't live under the law. We're under grace. Our salvation ought to produce a desire to work. The Bible says, by their works you shall know them. You know, I'm not saved by my works. Okay, I can't work myself to heaven, but you know what? Since I got saved, God has created a desire in me that I want to go ahead and do something for him. You know, people ought to be able to tell by the way I look. People ought to tell by my demeanor, by my speech, by my church attendance, by things that I do, by my Bible reading, by who I am sincerely, that, boy, I'm a child of God. People ought to see Christ in me. You know, our walk ought to be a working walk. We ought to have a busy walk. We ought to be busy for the Lord, active for the Lord. God saved us to go ahead and serve. You know, them to kind of just sit back, and I'm not opposed to it. I thank God if they show up to church and they're in their place. If that's all you can do, thank the Lord. I thank you. I love you. But you know what? It's really fun getting busy for God. It's really fun. Boy, I encourage you, get yourself involved in the ministries of the church. Get yourself involved in some area. You ask the Lord, God, you know, I'm saved and I want to do more. You give me a desire, but you know what? Don't just sit there and just kind of wonder, what can I do? You know what? Come to the preacher or just ask the Lord, Lord, show me what I can do. You know, what can I do for you, Lord? You saved me to go ahead and serve. Our serving glorifies him. He has a special job for you that only you can fulfill. Now, I can't fulfill it all here. You know, I think I can do quite a bit, but the truth of the matter is, you know what? Boy, how much more we can get done if we'd all get busy? How many more souls that we could go ahead and win if we'd get busy? How many more, you know, we talked about the bus ministry, increasing our bus routes and so forth. How many more people that we can go ahead and win if we and fill our buses with, if we get people out door knocking in Plymouth and Wareham, which we'll be hitting here soon, and Taunton, different things. How much more? Well, you know what? We're commanded to have a working walk, a busy walk. Man, we ought to not just sit back and stagnate and say, well, what can I do? You know what? Take whatever God is giving you. Take the talent that God is giving you and use it for him. You know what? Maybe you're just a one-talent Christian. Praise the Lord. That's what I think I am. I'm sorry. I don't think I'm any 5, 10, 15, whatever. I don't think I'm that big a Christian. But the truth of the matter, I have just decided that whatever I can go ahead and do, God, I want you to use it. God, I'll go ahead and give it to you. I'll give whatever limited talent I have, I'll go ahead and give it to you. You know, when I was an assistant pastor in Maine, I say this because I still say it's one of the greatest jobs, or one of the greatest jobs that I had in the church when I was in Maine. And it still is when I had the opportunity. I don't have all the opportunity. I think I'll have a little bit more opportunity coming down the road. But, you know, I love driving a bus. I was a youth pastor. I was a bus director. We had 5 bus routes I oversaw. I was a junior church preacher. I was over the soul winning of the church. I mean, I had several different jobs. You know what? Under all them descriptions, under all them little titles, them little hats that I had to wear that I was more than glad to wear, you know what? One of the greatest things I enjoyed was driving a bus. You know, I'm not saying, you say I'm preaching. You're looking, no. The Holy Spirit may be looking at you. But you know the truth about it? I love driving a bus. I love driving a bus. I love going ahead and driving that bus. You know what? I got thinking, you know, driving a bus for a bus route really is the most key position of the bus ministry. Because without a bus driver, there'd be no bus ministry. Without a bus driver, them little boys and girls that we saw down here a little while ago, they wouldn't have got here. You know, and in some cases, maybe it's multiple duty for a captain and a driver. You know, been there, done that. But you know what? There's nothing greater than, and I'm just picking on it. There's ever so many other things. Don't misunderstand me that I enjoy. But you know, one of the greatest things was I got to drive a bus. I don't know. Of course, I like big vehicles anyways. You know what? If I had my truck driver's license plate, I'd be, you know, you probably wouldn't want me to. But man, I've never driven one yet. I'd like to just drive one across the lot just to say, hey, I drove a Big Mac truck, man. I'd love to. You know, I like big vehicles. I mean, I grew up on a farm. We had big tractors, man. We'll tell you all the things, but anyways, but I had big truck. I love big vehicles, so I think that's one reason why I love driving a truck. I love that. But you know what? I get to sit there, and as I pick up the kids, hey, good morning, little Johnny. Good morning, little Sam. Good to see you. I had the best seat in the house as far as I'm concerned because I got to look them eye to eye as they got off that bus. I got to be a part of that. Hey, you know what? But what I'm trying to say, it might be other gifts or talents that God has given you. Might be teaching a class as we grow and do different things. It might be, you know, maybe, you know, and I've said it before, maybe it is you just coming, you kind of claiming your spot, so to speak, in the church, as far as that pew or that chair that you sit in, and you can pray for the preacher. You can pray for the ministries of the church. Someone came to me the other day and said, Pastor, could you just type out and just really quickly give me all the list of the ministries of the church? And, you know, and this fine man's been involved in so many other areas. I appreciate that. But you know what? I like the fact that he asked for that because he says, I want to be praying for the ministries and for the people who head them up. You know what? Maybe that's all you can do. Maybe that's exactly what it is that God has called you to do. But if you can do it, do it. You know, prayer will change a whole lot of things around you. Prayer will change your heart. Hey, you know, it needs to be a working walk. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. He saved us to show us off, if you will, and let the world know what God can do with lost sinners. You know, I thank God that he's making me and he's molding me and he can show me off. And you know what? Where would we be had we not been saved? Go back to that date. I don't know when it was. Was it at your doorstep? Was it here at an altar? Was it in a pew somewhere? Where would you be had someone not gone ahead and told you the greatest news of all, the gospel? Where would you be this morning? Would you be in a bar room? Would you be broken? Would you be homeless? Would you be alone? Who knows? We'd be, you know, but one thing we would be, we'd be lost and we'd be wandering around and we'd be on our way to hell. I thank God that he saved me. I thank God that he says, Sean, I want to use you. I'm his workmanship. I thank God that we can have an active and a busy walk. I'm glad I'm his workmanship, and he's making and he's molding a masterpiece. I'm glad that he constantly is working and weeding away the things that ought not be there. I'm glad that he loves me enough to go ahead and cut away the dross, if you will, the things that ought not be, so that he can make me beautiful, if you will. I thank God that as a child of God, he has painted the glory of his grace and mercy and love upon the canvas of my life. He has allowed me our life to go ahead and show the lost world what God can do with a lost sinner like us. Boy, I encourage a child of God, live this kind of life. You know, live this walk with God. Be submissive to the Holy Spirit that's within you. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting you of some wrongdoing, boy, you ought to come to the altar. Get it right. Get it right. Don't live with it. Don't let that thing fester and become bigger and bigger in your heart to a point where you're kind of disenchanted with the Word of God, to a point where you're disenchanted with the ministry, to the point where you're disenchanted with preaching, to the point where you're disenchanted with the Word of God, that you just kind of push it away. Hey, don't listen to the Holy Spirit that's within you. Stop feeding the flesh and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in you. Allow him to make you be what you want. He wants you to be. Allow him to use you for his glory. Have a working walk. Paul was saying, have a working walk. He's telling the believers in Ephesus, have a working walk. Get busy. Get involved. Walk with God. You know, those that are involved are the happiest Christians I know. Number two, have a worthy walk. In verse number 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You know what? That word worthy means honorable, deserving, having sufficient value. You know, I look at my Christian life, I'm in awe today that God... I'm in awe that you want to use me. I'm in awe that I am saved, that I'm a child of God this morning. I stand here in awe that God would go ahead and save me. I am no more worthy to be a child of God than anybody else, but I thank God he saved me. I thank God he wants to use me. The Bible says to walk worthy. Walk honorable, if you will, that vocation or that calling. You know what? If you're saved this morning, you know what? We have a new title. We're a Christian. Christian, Christ-like. You know what? So I ought to be walking worthy of the title, if anything, of that title. If I'm not pastoring, if I'm not teaching a class or anything, you know what? But if anything, he saved me. You know who I am now? I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. You know, I ought to be walking worthy of that title. I want my name to walk worthy of that title. I want to be more and more like Christ daily. How should we walk daily? Worthy, rather. The Bible says in verse number 2 of chapter 4, with all lowliness. That word lowliness is humility. You know what? We need to go ahead and keep ourselves cut down, if you will. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get a little bit prideful. We'll get a kind of a little bit high and mighty, if you will. The truth of the matter is, we ought to stay humble. Don't become better than anybody else. We ought to be meek. The Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness. That means gentleness. We ought to be gentle in handling every situation. We ought to have a calmness about us. So easy to go ahead when things go wrong, fly off the handle. You know what? If we're going to walk worthy of the calling of being Christ-like, of being a Christian, you know, we ought to be gentle. We ought to have a gentle spirit. We ought to be long-suffering. That's patient. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? That's very tough. If there's any impatient person I know, it's me. I am impatient. You know, I'm the kind of guy, you know, and I gotta put reins on. I want it now. We all do. If you could stand behind here today and be honest like your preacher is, you'd say, yeah, I want it now. We're all impatient. We ought to be long-suffering. We ought to be long-suffering to those younger Christians. We ought to be patient with them. Sometimes, you know, we get, and it's a good thing. It's good to have young baby Christians in the church. You know, and by the way, none of us should never get to a point where I have arrived. I am somebody. No, we're not. We're only sinners saved by grace. You know, don't ever get so high-minded. You know, man, what happened to Lucifer? You know, I reminded of a story in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. He got a little bit high-minded. You know, eventually, you know what? He literally got cut down. God had to just go ahead and bring him down. Hey, listen to me. We ought to be very careful. We ought not get so high-minded that we're not no earthly good. We ought not get to a point where I have arrived. You know, Paul had never arrived. He says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know what? Let me just remind you. You know where he was when he said that? In prison. And he, by the way, he was an old man. In prison. He says, you know what? I may be in jail, but you know, I'm going to keep on reaching forward for some things. You know, he did not arrive. He says in the next verse, I press towards the mark. You know, here's Paul in prison, all caged up and so forth. And he says, I'm pressing towards the mark. Yeah, I'm going to keep on going. You know what? Paul hadn't arrived. He's an old man here. He'd written a lot of Bible. He says, you know what? But I can sit here in prison. I can witness the guard is there. I can go ahead and sing the songs of glory. I can write some more Bible. You know what? Paul didn't sit here and say, well, I'm in prison. There's nothing I can do. You know, God, this isn't fair. You call me to be a preacher and look at this. No, he didn't do that. He says, you know, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to press towards the mark. You know, and he didn't arrive, if you will. We got to be very careful. We need to be patient with those Christians that are younger than us. I thank God for new blood coming through the church. It shows there's life. And you know what? Maybe those who've been around who saved for a little while, we may go ahead and say, well, you know, preacher, they just shouldn't do that. Hey, you know what? We were patient with you. Amen. You know, we were patient with you. When you were a young Christian, you know what? There was others before you that said, you should. Hey, listen. You know, God loves every single one of us. He died for the whole world. Hey, he loves every single one of us. You know, when I think about it, God's patient with me day in and day out. You know, boy, we can learn a lot from that. Hey, we need to be long-suffering. Forbearing one another. How do we walk worthy? You know, it says to forbear one another. That literally means to put up with. You know, to bear with endurance. It's right along the same line as patience. But we must not become impatient with people. Cut some of the baby Christians some slack. Let's teach them instead of going ahead and shun them. The Bible says to walk worthy. As a Christian, as a pastor, and truth of the matter is, as a Christian period, we ought to be very careful of how we walk. I want to walk worthy. I hope that, and I pray that as I go about my daily business and doing the things that I do, I hope and pray that people will say, you know what, there's something different about that individual. You know, and I'm not, I just have to use some of the illustrations that I know, and probably a lot of you could have the same illustrations, but it's nice, especially when my kids were younger. It's nice when I could take them to a restaurant, and they sat there, and they ate. They weren't, you know, all over the place and so forth. And how often, when I'd go to some, maybe a nicer restaurant or even a lesser restaurant and so forth, how often I'd have somebody, you know what, What a fine family. Your kids are well behaved. Where was I? I was there. I was somewhere. At pastor school at the motel that we stayed at. And all of our children were there, and plus one, and so forth. And the attendant, of course, we were there a week. We were at this motel for a week. And as we were getting ready, you know, normally, and I was very surprised. They're not up here today, but you know, the ladies in my in our, you know, in my family, they were always ready on time. You know, they knew that Dad wanted to get to the services and be in place. And oftentimes when they got ready, they'd go down and they had a little eating area. They had a little place where the Continental breakfast would be, and they'd be waiting for Dad and Mom and whatever the case may be. And they'd be sitting there. And you know what? The clerk there said, you know what, Pastor? She got to know me that as after a little while. You know what? I wish that teenagers today would act like that. Now, you say you brag, no. I'm not bragging. By the way, it takes a little bit of work. Let me turn another page. I have for several years as a youth pastor, and still today, I have for several years taken a crowd of teenagers. I'm talking about teenagers for a minute. I'm bragging on you. And for many years, I'd go cross country to Indiana. I mean, some years it'd be 30 teenagers, 40 teenagers. Last year, gave you a little breather, it was 11. Let me just say this. How often we'd stop at a fast food place, we'd eat. You know, and I'm talking about 30, 40 people coming in and off the bus. It's so funny that you go to these fast food restaurants. You know, all of a sudden, man, it was slow. Oh, you know, man, they just went ahead and got their little caffeine beans out. They started eating because they just, the crew just started moving real quick. You know what? But how often, this no joke. How often they'd say, they'd see these ladies come in dressed appropriate and the guys and how well behaved they say. I remember one of the managers said, wow. And I didn't know what, you know, I was getting ready to leave and I always said, thank you very much. Service was great. Thank you. And he just goes, wow. I go, wow. I'm just saying goodbye. You know, you could just, you know, and he says, I've never seen a crew that big. I mean, we have schools, we have people come through this, our place all the time. But you had several 30, 40 teenagers here, and boy, they were just there and they were well behaved. But you know what? This says a whole lot about their walk. You know, that's why, you know, we try to instill in these young people, you know, how to live and to teach them early how to walk worthy of the vocation, the calling. But it's not just limited to teenagers, it's us. It's mama and daddy. It's preacher. It's Sunday school teacher. It's youth leader. Hey, you know, we must have a worthy walk. We must have a working walk. We must have a wholehearted walk. In verse number 4, verse 17, quickly, 4, verse 17. Let me see here. And this, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. That's a wholehearted walk. Paul's talking about a wholehearted walk. He was saying, you know what, Christians, you know what? You ought to be different. You ought to come out from among them, be ye separate. You know, you're a child of God. You're a new person. There ought to be a difference about you. Paul was saying here, Christians ought to look different. You ought to act different. We're saved. We ought to be different. Remember those of us that are saved were new creatures. We talked about that earlier. I said, hey, we must have a wholehearted walk instead of half-hearted. You know what? We ought not have a half-hearted. You know, Christianity, your Christian life could be so fun if you just go ahead and just let God have it all and you walk wholeheartedly. You give him all you got. Whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. Whatever it is that God, you know, if God's giving you a family to raise, you know, you give it all you got. If God's giving you a Sunday school class, you give it all you got. Hey, you know, give all your heart to the ministry. Give all your heart to your family. Give all your heart to your marriage. Give all your heart to your job. Give all your heart to your testimony. Hey, you ought to be going a different direction. You ought to be desiring God's will for us, for you. Our desires ought to be his desires. Our ways ought to be his ways. Why? We're a new creature. We ought to be have a wholehearted walk. He says right here, again, I read, this I say then and testify in the Lord. You ought to have a testimony. There ought to be something different about you that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. Don't walk as the world. Be different. Be different. Look different. Act different. We're a new creature. You know what? He was saying, think of all that God, the Father, and that Jesus has done for us. He gave us salvation. They gave all. We ought to go ahead and, Jesus and gave his all on that cross. We ought to put all our heart into this Christian life. We ought to give Christ all that we got. We ought to give Christ all we can in raising our family for God, in every ministry that we have. Whatsoever thy hand finds, do it with thy might. I know in the day in which we live, I know it's tough. I know it's tough to stand strong. I know it's tough to keep that armor on and keep it lashed on. I know it's difficult. I know you can be made fun of in mockery, but let me just remind you what kind of city Ephesus was. You're going to see this. The Ephesus was very much like it is today right here in America. Ephesus is a city that can be likened to how it is here. It's a wicked city filled with wicked men and wicked worship. The Temple of Diana, as talked about in Acts chapter 19, was there. Diana was the sex goddess. There was perversion, sexual perversion. There was prostitution. There was paganism. It was hardly called a Christian city, just like, they say our nation's a Christian nation. We're getting more and more further away from that label today. But this city was very paganistic. It has been said about the city of Ephesus in my studying in these Ephesians that lived there that the darkness of vileness, the morals were lower than the animals, and the inhabitants were only fit to be drowned. They were really useless people. They were filthy people. Ephesus was not an easy place to live. And what does Paul say? Walk worthy. What does Paul say? Your testimony ought to be strong and sure to those. What does Paul say? Walk wholeheartedly. Let people see Christ in you. Paul says, be different. Even though we are in some difficult times, sexual sin all around, the Hollywood lifestyle, the booze, the drugs, the pride, everything that goes along with it, it's all around. Hey, you know what? We need to walk worthy, and we must be different. People say, you know what? And I've had it said before, and you know me, it just kind of is water off a duck's back. I've had people say in a very hurtful way, you're different. You know what your preacher says? Thank you. I'm supposed to be. The truth of the matter is, hey, church, listen, I'm trying to help you this morning. We're all supposed to be. Who lives inside me that made a difference? Christ. Who lives inside me that gave me as a child of God, that gave me the label Christian, which means Christ-like? Jesus. Hey, listen, we ought to be different. We ought to walk wholeheartedly for the cause of Christ. Say no to sin and walk as he'd want us to walk. I tell this to teenagers, but I tell this to the church. You know what? You give God all you have, everything, every single part of you, you'll never regret it. I have never heard this testimony of people who may have been saved out of vileness situation and so forth say, you know what? I'm a child of God, and boy, do I regret it. I have never heard that. Never. I mean, I have no idea, and I've been in a lot of services, I've been in a lot of conferences, I've never heard anybody stand up and say, well, I'm saved, and, boy, this is just, ugh. No, I never heard that. You know what? Every time I hear people, and literally, I know of preachers, I know people that came out of the junkiest of junk, the vilest of behavior. When you get up and you hear them testify, I say, boy, I'm glad that I'm saved by the precious blood of Jesus. I'm glad that I get to walk worthy. I'm glad that I get to walk with God. And that's the kind of testimony we ought to have. Hey, you know what? Our walk is a wonderful walk. In verse number 5, too quickly, in the walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and has given us, given himself for us as an offering of sacrifice to God and for a sweet-smelling savor. This walk, I wouldn't trade this walk for nothing. It's a wonderful walk. Our Christian walk ought to be characterized by love. By the way, that's what Christianity is all about. You know what? If it was love that went ahead and nailed Jesus to the cross, and Christianity is characterized by that one word, love. Jesus said that love ought to be the earmark or the defining trait of the disciples. And if we are a disciple, if we're saved this morning, it ought to be a defining trait of who we are. That kind of love that God talks about, it's an agape love. It talks about God's kind of love. It talks about an unconditional love. It means that you love someone in spite of who they are. You love someone in spite of what they are. You love someone in spite of what maybe they have done or what you know about them. You just go ahead and love them. You know, it's the kind of love that's portrayed in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter of the Bible. When you can honestly love as Christ did, you know what? You will find your walk. Your Christian life is so wonderful. You know what? Instead of retaliating to someone that maybe used a sharp tongue against you, you know what? Why don't you do what the Bible says and build them up? Let me just stop and say this. You know, when a critic goes ahead and talks about you, you know what? Generally, it's because they are bearing something heavy. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know what? Generally, when someone, and it doesn't matter who it is, they go ahead and maybe lash out at you because of something, you know, automatically, because of whatever, we want to lash out back. You know what? That will not help that individual in you one bit. And generally, when I find when someone goes ahead and lashes out at you, because they're bearing some sort of burden. They've got a wounded spirit. Maybe someone mistreated them, so they in turn want to mistreat somebody else. The truth of the matter is, instead of going ahead and lashing back at them, you know what? Instead of casting them aside, you know what? Generally, a critic is someone who's not bad. They're broken. And all they need is someone to fix them up. All they need is some salve, if you will, of the Word of God. You know, you take a watch. Let's say if it's an expensive watch. You know, and it... Oh, you know, what are you going to do, chuck it? No, most people won't go ahead and do that. They'll say, you know what, they'll go to the place that fixes watches, and that, you know what, because they find that it's still useful, I'm going to get it fixed. Generally, when someone goes ahead and speaks ill of you, we say, well, they're our enemy, you know, they don't care, we want to go ahead and lash back. You know, that's not unconditional love. That's not showing the kind of love that God went ahead and showed you. How many times did, before we were saved, If we were saved out of some wicked situation, so forth, how many times did our life kind of, in a way, spit back at God? But you know what? Did God go ahead and say, well, you know what? Hey, you know, that's a kind of, not for you, man, this salvation. No. He died for all. He says, my love for you erases all of that junk that you spit back at me. It's covered. Hey, listen, you know what? When you learn to love as God loves, boy, you know what? Your walk will be so much more wonderful. You know, people may lash at you. People may criticize you and so forth. You know what? You ought to just take it that they didn't mean it. You know, that's how I look at it. They didn't mean it. I have no idea. You know, I'm reminded of a situation several years ago. First became assistant pastor. And, you know, I was learning some of the pressures of the ministry. And there was a person, an adult in the church that, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but didn't like me. Just did not like me. I have no, you know, I'm so nice. And so, you know that church. Amen. Okay. Tough crowd. But, you know, listen. My wife and I was sitting in a restaurant there, in Pizza Hut, as a matter of fact. And this couple came into Pizza Hut. They saw us. Good to see you. How you doing? Right across the, you know, it was kind of empty, so we just kind of greeted them. We're good. You know, they went and sat over there, and so forth. Opposite. Went ahead and got my bill, and I paid for their bill on the way out. They came to me the next Sunday, and they said, you paid for our bill. I said, yes, sir. I did. Why? I said, because the Lord wanted me to. And he went ahead and he says, you know, ever since you got here, I mistreated you. I said, that's okay. I said, you know what? And I didn't look at it as mistreatment. I thought maybe you might have been going through some difficult situations or whatever, and I didn't look at it that way. I still love you. I love you. I wanted to help you. I thought if I could pay for your bill, it'd help you. And he went out to scratch it, and he says, you know, I want to say thank you. Let me tell you something, that changed a whole lot. That changed a whole lot. Hey, listen, you know what? You know, your walk can be a wonderful walk. It ought to be a witnessing walk. I got to keep moving. It ought to be a witnessing walk. You know, verse number 5, verse 8, let me move forward here. For ye were sometimes, or that word sometimes here means once, darkness. But now you're a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Boy, people, you ought to be a light that so shines before men. We were darkness, now we are light, the Bible says. Walk as children of light. We have been changed. People ought to tell that you're saved. People ought to tell that you're different. We ought to witness and tell others. Our life ought to be a lighthouse for those around us. Our life ought to be a breath of fresh air, as I mentioned a few moments ago. Our life ought to be such that we greet people with a smile. Our life ought to say that Jesus is in us. Again, let people see Jesus in you at work or at play or at the mall and raising your kids in your yard. I'm reminded again of having a witnessing walk. That's what it teaches here. He says to the Ephesians, you have a witnessing walk. Let people, you know, yes, it's a very vile city. It's a wicked city. But you know what? Let the light so shine. You have a witnessing walk. Let people see Jesus in you. You learn how to tell people about Jesus. You know, when I lived in Maine, I had a neighbor very close. We didn't have a fence there. Very close to us, and they had a window that could see everything on our part, which is fine. It didn't, you know, it just didn't bother me and so forth. And I knew. You ever felt like you knew you were being watched? Now, I did. The time I'd go out and play or mow the yard, I mean, it was like, man, I was being watched. Everything and so forth. They knew who we were, an assistant pastor down the street, different things, so forth. They knew who we were and so forth. But let me just tell you something. Had I gone ahead and lived such a two-faced life, you know, I'm one way at church, and then I come home and start yelling, screaming, drinking, doing all this other stuff, and, you know, loud music, all this other kind of stuff. Let me tell you something. That neighbor would have thought, assistant pastor? Christian? Church? You know what? Let me just say this, because they were watching us. You know, every time they saw us, and they told us this later on, every time they saw us, they'd see us happy, they'd see the kids running around, they'd see, you know, whatever the case may be. They saw Christ, I hope. This is their words. And, you know, as a result of that, as a result of the difference making a difference in my life, I want to make a difference to others. You know what? They soon, it wasn't long, about a year or so after living there and so forth, they said, hey, can we go down to your church? I said, yeah. I had the privilege of leading this family to the Lord. And today, they're still in church at Calvary. Hey, what I'm saying, you know, a witnessing walk, and then we ought to have a wise walk. Then we ought to have a wise walk. The Bible says in verse number 15 of chapter 5, see then that ye walk. Here's number 6, our last walk here. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That's an accurate walk. That word circumspectly means accurate. That means exactly, diligent, wisely. You walk wisely, if you will. It means that you're careful everywhere you go. That means that you want to avoid all the appearance of evil. That means that you want to have a good testimony. You want to be very careful. You walk with your eyes open. You're aware that maybe people around you are watching you. Yes, and by the way, even you can walk circumspectly and trip and stumble, but you know what? The Bible says that a just man, as we learned this morning, a just man falls 7 times. A wise man, a just man falls 7 times. You don't stay down, you get back up. Hey, you know what? You walk circumspectly. You walk wisely. If you fall, you get back up in wisdom. If the devil punches you, you go ahead and you get back up. You're not down for good. You just keep right on going. Why do you want to get back up? Because you want those that follow you to know that you have a God that loves you. You want to have a good testimony. You let those that follow you go ahead and see that when you do fall down, when you do trip and fall, you don't just stay down. You get back up. God gives you the strength to get back up. He is your focus. Point, and because you are careful of those who follow you. You want them to follow in the path of Christ. You want them to follow your God, if you will. They need to see your diligence and wisdom as you walk. It shows that Christ is number one. When you stumble, I know it's easy. I don't have the energy to get back up. I'll get up. A just man follows 7 times, but riseth up. Okay, you just keep getting up. You can be a testimony. Walk circumspectly. Be wise. Be cautious. Be exact in your walk. Don't easily waver by every wind of doctrine. Keep Christ in your sights. Keep walking with him. Nurture that relationship. Walk strong. Have a good testimony. Hey, listen. How's your walk this morning? I talk primarily to Christian people this morning. How's your walk? Do they see Jesus in you? Our little song of offering says, keep running on. Keep running on. Sorry, you just, I'm fed up. No, you just keep walking. You fall, get back up. You keep walking. And Christian, how's your walk? Is it a working walk? Not for salvation. You've been saved by the grace of God, but boy, we ought to be busy. Is your walk worthy? Are you walking honorably for the Savior who has called you? Is your walk wholeheartedly? You're giving God all you got. Is your walk a witnessing walk? Can people see Jesus in you? Is your walk wise? Is it upright? Are you honest? Are you accurate? Are you sure? Are you confident? Are you diligent in your walk? How is your walk? Maybe you're here today, you say, preacher, I don't know how to walk like that. Simply, the reason is because maybe you don't have Jesus in your heart. Now this morning, that's where it starts, right there. You want to walk as Jesus walked. You want to be the kind of child of God. You want to be saved. You want to be able to walk these kind of walks. You know what? It starts at salvation. You've got to realize you're a sinner. Realize Jesus, he paid the price of your sin. And all you have to do, there's nothing spooky about it, my friend. People say, well, you got to do, no. Don't put works into it. It's already been done. It's been finished. All you have to do is realize you're a sinner. All you have to do is open your heart. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Come to my heart, save me, forgive me of my sin. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thinking of that lady I got to lead the Lord yesterday. I got to go ahead and show her the gospel plan. She was lost. She didn't know how to walk as a Christian because she'd not been saved. I said, Mary Ann, all you have to do is understand you're a sinner. You know, we've all sinned. I told her about the story of Adam and Eve and where sin came from. All you have to do is realize there's a price on sin. The Bible says, God's word says, that price is hell. But you know, and by the way, you know, people say, well, you know, I just want to die and go to hell and be with my friends. No, you won't even know who they are. It's not going to be a party there. But you know, it would be wonderful to see Jesus face in heaven. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. And all you have to do is open your heart. Say, God, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sin. Take me to heaven when I die. And he says, whosoever. I said, Mary Ann, yesterday, I said, Mary Ann, you're a whosoever. I'm a whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall. I said, there's no question there. There's not might be or could be or whatever. No, it shall be. That's a promise. Maybe here today, you can't walk these walks simply because you're not at the beginning. That's salvation. You're not at the very start of where these walks should be. That's at salvation. You got to know Jesus as your Savior. My friend, listen, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You know what? Let me just tell you something. You know, the most wonderful relationship there is that walk with Jesus. That's the most wonderful relationship there is. And it doesn't have to be an empty kind of walk. Sometimes, yeah, well, I talk to Jesus and so forth, but let me ask a question. Are you saved, though? Is that talk that you have, is it real? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't, my friend, I plead with you and I ask you, why don't you, in just a few minutes, the invitation, you take the first step. You come down to the preacher, you shake my hand and say, preacher, I want to be saved. I want to become a child of God. And don't be bashful about it. Don't be nervous about it. You just step out. And you just shake my hand and say, preach, I want to be saved this morning. If you're here today, child of God, and maybe your walk is a little weak. Maybe there's things in your life that just kind of is causing your walk not to be the testimony it should be. Maybe there's something that you need to deal with today to make your walk stronger, to make your walk be a good testimony for the cause of Christ. I don't know what it is. God and the Holy Spirit knows. You know. If you need to do business like that this morning, won't you do it? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. We do thank you for today. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons of walking, how our conduct should be. I'm not talking about our locomotion and how we walk physically. I'm talking about our conduct. Do people see Jesus in us? Everywhere we go, are we hospitable? Are we honorable? Are we worthy? Are we wholehearted? Are we witnessing? Are we working? Are we serving you? Are we walking the way that you want us to walk? Are we where we ought to be in our Christian life? I pray to God that maybe some of us are off track this morning. We'll get on track today. We'll get back on track, and so we don't hurt those that are following us. We'll keep our testimony clean and sure and right and diligent. I pray, dear God, you bless. If there's someone here today, they don't know Jesus as Savior, I pray today will be the day of salvation. I pray today would be their spiritual birthday. I pray they wouldn't linger. I pray they wouldn't just say, no, not today, not today. I pray today they become your child. Thank you for today, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the decisions made today, Lord. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd seal them. Pray, God, that we'll walk out of here closer to you than when we came. I pray, God, that we'll desire to walk worthy, walk wholeheartedly, walk working, walk witnessing, and walk wisely, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you just please help us in our daily walk so that others this week will see Jesus in us. Pray, Father, you'd bless now. Bless us as we go our separate ways. Bring us back safely tonight for your preaching and your service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.